Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
What's going on, guys? You're listening to the Everyday Struggle podcast. I'm the Desker here taking you through the week in hip-hop with my guys Wayno and DJ Academics. Let's start with Eminem. Anyone who thought Shady would say his final word on Machine Gun Kelly in interviews alone was definitely not expecting him to go in for 4 minutes on his diss track, Killshot. The track has been streamed over 80 million times on YouTube at this point, but Academics and Wayno still felt like MGK has the upper hand. All right, so this was pretty long. A couple other shots, including how you're going to name yourself after a damn gun and have a man bun. I'm 45 and I'm outselling you by 29. I had 3 albums that had blue. On a scale of 1 to 10, first and foremost, please grade these bars.
The bars are good.
That's not a grade. Come on.
Hold on. Wait,
there's a lot to talk about here.
I have a long breakdown.
Of course you do, Ack. Let's just start with grading these bars, and then we get into the breakdown.
Grading the bars, I'll give an A, I guess, for the bars.
But you have issues with it.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get into all of it. Yo. Of course, M is a titan going up against Machine Gun Kelly. He's little bro in him, this whole diss song, so I guess that's what we want to get into. But I just want to know, that aside, do you feel
bars.
Like he, bars, are the bars good?
Bars is there, but...
What a lukewarm reaction.
I'm afraid I'm going to be agreeing with him today. I'm afraid I'm
with Academics?
Agreeing. Yeah, I'm afraid.
You don't even know my point yet. But with two lyricists, like both of them honestly gave top tier bars.
Okay.
I wasn't disappointed, like, lyrically.
Are you disappointed that he responded?
No.
Or what's the problem?
That's the thing I applaud M for the most. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know what I mean, he was going to be like, I'm too big to respond. I just diss people. I don't respond back when they diss back.
Right, you were mad that he responded in an interview instead of actually rapping.
Yes.
Here we go.
When he dropped this song, it told me that all y'all other rappers who he dissed and y'all are like going on a promo run claiming like this is some big accomplishment. Respond back to this nigga. He's ready for smoke. And I respect him that he could be... He's ready for smoke. He responded. Dropped a song called Killshot. He's telling me that, yo, if you want to go toe-to-toe with him and you want to rap, let's rap. And I respect that. You can't do nothing but respect
so
that.
So he's been complaining forever about mumble rap and him being a student of the game and realizing that bars don't matter. So it seems like he finally found a place where he could show what he's good at. But Wayno, you think it was a bad look?
Well... Now, I don't, like I said, I don't think he had to put a time on a response. I think the response came too quick.
Oh.
I think the response came too quick, and I think that the response is too long. It's 4 minutes of him just, like, going around shit. Machine Gun Kelly doesn't lose here. I feel like he doesn't lose here because, let's be honest, and no disrespect to Machine Gun Kelly, but nobody was talking about him, mm-hmm. right? And now he has everybody paying attention. He about to drop an EP. Mm-hmm. He's dropping merch off of this shit. Now, of course, no. We know. It's not... He said, oh, I sold more records than you, and I could have burnt the money you got in '02 and all that. It's not a question of who got more money. We know M got more money. But as far as which song entertain me more, I say Rap Devil entertain me more than Killshot.
You agree with that?
Yeah, well that's the thing. So I give him credit for dropping a song. It's just that... This song is kind of trash. Mm-hmm. You get me? Because he says 2 things the whole song, 10 different ways, using a million different vocabulary words. It's the exact issue that a lot of people have complained about Eminem. You're great at rhyming words. You could get lyrical. Mm-hmm. But nigga, there's nothing there. Like, one of the reasons why we awarded Pusha T that win in the beef with him and Drake. That nigga did some homework. You know what I mean? That nigga put some effort into making sure that what he was about to say about this nigga he didn't like mm-hmm. or he was dissing was something that we were like, oh shit, like he went there.
He tried that a little bit. He tried to make it a girl thing.
Listen, and that's why I was saying, we have the lyrics here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the lyrics, you could tell he says two things over and over again. Basically, you were trying to clown me for being old, but I just accomplished way more than you, and I'm richer than you, and you're not as good as a rapper as me. And he said it in the most elitist way that didn't even come across cool. I just can't give him too much points for it. The song is not even a better song than Rap Devil, in my opinion.
Okay.
While the bars are there, because the nigga, he knows how to rhyme. The nigga's a rhymer. But I can't say this is like a really dope diss song. Yo. And if you think about Eminem's diss song history, his best diss song is like Nick Cannon, bro.
Best diss song is Nick Cannon.
Would you have really applauded him if he went overboard, did his homework, really came up with some dirt? Would it have felt 100%. Like too much?
Yo,
like him picking on someone second. Versus like actually engaging in a...
Eminem just made a song to Machine Gun Kelly. So this is what I'm saying.
Like, MGK was mad about the Shade 45 thing or serious if that happened. Yeah. This is a much bigger look than Shade 45 could have ever given him. So
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I mean, at this point, this is how I feel about the whole shit, right? What's one thing you never see? You never see a wolf in a circus, right? And you've never seen a wolf in a circus.
Okay.
And today's rap game is a circus, and Eminem is a rap wolf. And he's out of place. He's out of place with this record. Was it bad overall? No, it's not bad. We know Eminem can rap, but I feel like he spent too much time on MGK to not really like diss MGK. Like, yeah, in technical terms of rapping and battling, yes, he did everything he was supposed to do. But as far as, remember how we was like, oh, Pusha T, you was saying Pusha T didn't have no quotables?
Was it clever enough?
It wasn't, like, I just listened to it, like, it sounds like, this shit sound exactly like how it's supposed to sound.
Can Eminem actually win? Can he do anything that, no. That's the thing.
He already won.
So he responded, like, we shouldn't address him, he shouldn't have talked about it in the Sway interview, we want a track, then he drops the track, and we're like, this is actually not that good. Like, what is he actually supposed to do here?
I give you one, right? Because when we talk about Eminem and his career, you equate him. People put him in a conversation. He's not in my top five personally, but people put him in a conversation with the Nas's and the Hov's and even Biggie's and Tupac's to an extent, right? Jay would have never responded to a person of Machine Gun Kelly's caliber as far as a rapper, made a whole song about him. Nas, 50 was saying all types of shit about Nas, and Nas might have threw a shot here or there, and 50 was larger than life, is larger than life. He never jumped into that.
Did Jay ever make like a album and a bunch of songs just name checking niggas?
Of course not.
Basically asking for a response like M was asking for. You feel me? It's not like if he was dissing him subliminally and then whatever and now and MGK made a whole song, yeah, you get away with ignoring that. Like, that's why this
is. But this is what I'm saying.
But what I'm saying is that M is name dropping niggas. He felt like he was asking for smoke. The name dropped everybody had a problem with. You name dropped MCs. If an MC not responds, you can't back out of that one. You can't back out of that one.
Jay has dropped subliminals that have had niggas' names and never did a whole song.
He ain't name checking them like how M did, man. For me, when M had, when he dropped The Fall and those other tracks that he mentioned people's names on, it told me either he is like just reaching or he's willing to stand on what he's saying, especially when he's mentioning other people that could rap. You get me? It's one thing when you're mentioning niggas that ain't gonna rap. You start mentioning some niggas that could rap. He knew MGK could actually get on the mic. I don't know if he think MGK could do that. You mentioned Joe. You mentioned these other people who are rappers. What do you think? Now, if they say something, it's not out of the blue. Niggas gonna look at you like, okay, in the MC world, the same way when, remember when Drake dropped No Shopping and he say, pump, pump, pump it up, even though that wasn't, like, he ain't mentioned Joe, but come on now, pump, pump, pump it up.
Like Joe, like
so Cole. Now that nigga dropped three diss tracks on you, what's up? You're not gonna respond?
Nah, but listen, he shouldn't have responded. I'm gonna keep it 100. He shouldn't have said.
Wait, I think I'm surprised.
Then if he didn't respond, then what would have happened? Everyone would have been
nothing's
like,
gonna
"Well,
happen.
You name checked everyone, and then you did a Sway interview and let it die."
No, listen. He should have responded, but you know what the problem is? Everything's so instant. He let everybody put a timer on his fucking back. Mm. Eminem don't need a timer on his back. He does not need that.
All right, hold on though. I'm not. Why are we giving M this now? People put a time on his back. This nigga took 6 years to respond to something MGK said. Now he, because he took like 4 or 5 days.
Eminem, he don't have to. Yo, you telling me Eminem had to? So Eminem had to respond to Machine Gun Kelly. Like
I think he responded because he wanted to show. Like, listen to the track. I think he responded because he wanted to remind people, like, yo, this is the person who, like, who wants to be me. This is a fan.
And I'm going to just want to be Eminem. Are you kidding me?
No, but that's what M was saying. That's what Eminem was saying on the track.
Yeah, but that's...
He didn't have to respond, but I felt like M thought this was going to be an easy body.
M could have killed him if he would have did some Stan shit. Because he said some Stan shit on there.
It, which was kind of
dope. If he would have stayed on some Stan shit, the whole shit, that would have been ill.
That's true.
Well, I don't even like that angle that M was trying to take. Like, right. Because he said it a couple times, like, yo... he even said the stand line, Rolling Starter kept bullshit. Well, and I was looking at it, I'm like, yo, I get it. On MGK's track, he gave you some compliments. And I get it, it's a diss track. You don't really compliment the guy you're dissing. But it came across to me from the perspective like, yo, I'm a disappointed fan who was a big fan of you all these years to see what you've turned into. You've turned into a guy who, when you see somebody else who might be competition, you're blocking their career. Mm. You're doing all these different things.
And whether it's true
you're
or not progressing. It's very entertaining, whether it's true or not. Because we don't know that for a fact.
Yeah, exactly.
But with MGK shit was just more funny.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It was just more plays and more funny. Like, he like, why your dad still mad in the house yelling at everybody? Like,
question. Do you guys think different rap generations are reacting to this differently?
So absolutely.
Randomly, Too Short was talking to TMZ. He said, jokingly, it's great for white rap. But he also said something like, it's good that Eminem's there. I like that he's playing around, but it's not going to affect anything. He said, it's kind of like a big country fighting a little country. No matter who wins, you're still going to be like, man, you didn't have to do that to him. But I wonder if everyone's feeling that way, or is it an age thing here?
I feel like he didn't have to do it, right? At first, I feel like he didn't have to respond. I feel like... A person at Eminem, right? Even with this album, all right? He dropped the album. He dissed everybody. He could have went and did whatever he did after that, right? Now, it's cool that he jumped into the gauntlet to get into some shit with him, but did he have to? No. All it is making Machine Gun Kelly hotter than he's ever been.
You think MGK's in the studio right now?
He's dropping an EP. Like, he has an EP.
But is he going to drop another response to this?
I don't think so. Because he
What is this for him to not?
Apparently, and I saw some mumblings that MGK is coming with another response. And if I'm MGK...
You have to.
I'll go a million rounds with you. What's up?
This is like the best marketing
ever. I'll rap until you're in the retirement home. I have all the time in the world. You get me? Like, I saw him wear the Killshot shirt at one of his shows. But in all reality, MGK doesn't lose, but M doesn't lose either.
Yeah, he doesn't. All right.
Hip-hop is still at the place where a lyrical confrontation is still a popularity contest.
Yeah.
I've seen people voting just off. I've seen people quote the most simplistic lines about M. And they're like, oh my God, he killed him. He said he'd rather be the 80-year-old him than the 20-year-old you. I'm like, bro, are we kidding?
That would have been hot 15 years ago. Like, that would have been hot 15 years ago.
And by the way, that shit has like 60 million views on YouTube. Yeah. And I seen.
MGK shit, 88 million.
What you doing?
It was out got a time difference. Yeah,
when people want to like use numbers, I seen someone's like, yo, look, this is streaming better than MGK tells you what's hotter. No,
I mean, the
M has more fans.
Yeah. So 50, of course,
fans,
50
man.
Hopped in, worried about Machine Gun Kelly, get the strap, of course. And then Iggy Azalea, who got a shout out on this song, she chimed in talking about this song shouldn't be filled with celebrity names to pad out lazy bars. Iggy Azalea telling Eminem he has lazy bars.
I agree with Iggy.
Wait, as far as name dropping?
I'm
not against
it. She went on a little mini rant, and obviously maybe she felt away because she was kind of thrown under the bus. I get that completely. And by the way, Emma's always throwing white chicks under the bus in this rap. So let's be honest. But I do believe a lot of the name drops and all that. Like, yo, he name dropped Lil Tay, bro.
You weren't impressed?
At some point, like 3 minutes in, when he's repeating the same shit in different words, like we're fucking stupid and we just can't get the fact that he's just saying the same thing, just rhyming different words. Like, he just started name dropping random people. I'm like, yo, Lil Tay.
But I'm not mad at
it. It felt like he was trying to give off the impression that, yo, I'm still very much connected to the current. And when a rapper of his magnitude, a rapper who is a veteran like him, makes me feel like that on track, like, that ain't it, Chief.
I'm not mad at the name dropping only because Game has had astounding diss tracks with dropping everybody and they mother
Game hasn't dropped Lil Tay's name yet.
No. I don't think he would. I'm just saying, like, you know what's so crazy? Because people get so much flack for name dropping today. Well, people gave Game so much flack for name dropping back then, but everybody does it now. Like, yeah. So many people do it just to keep
not to the frequency of the Game, though. Game was like...
No, Game was going
Game
crazy.
Was rhyming name drops with name drops.
But, right. But what I'm saying is like... Who cares what Iggy Azalea has to say at this
Yo,
point?
Yo, good for her. Getting a shout-out in an M song is legendary.
Nah, y'all got to stop
you
with
gotta
it.
You got a shout-out in an M
y'all got to stop
too.
With it like, yo, M mentioned you.
It is.
Like,
so,
okay,
it
I
is.
Get
Cut
that part
out.
In terms of he's an icon and all that. But let's actually talk about what she said. Don't you feel like some of them bars, it's a diss song, motherfucker. Like, you don't feel like some of them bars was lazy? I thought he didn't
it was
do
rushed,
much
yo,
research.
This whole shit is rushed.
Okay, I thought he didn't do much research. I don't even think he knows much about MGK. So you know.
All right, so you really wanted dirt, is what you're saying? You wanted him to expose something?
No. It doesn't have to be like. Obviously, we're spoiled by Drake getting fucking Maury'd, right? But it doesn't have to be that level. But it has to be like you're going back and forth. You have to know something more about the person you're dissing, other than I'm more successful.
And is there any chance
M
that
could
if
diss
he did,
anybody?
Would you? You guys say it's too much.
No, I don't think that you have to know.
You don't have to get that messy and everything. Mm. But what I'm
so
saying is that
messy.
I'm listening to the track, and since when is like we applaud in diss tracks that the only thing the guy is saying is that I have more money than you and I rap better.
MGK's diss song didn't prove us that he knows a lot of shit about Eminem. It just was funny. Calling his beard weird and calling him mad. That was the biggest part of it. Him like just kept joking on the person that he was, right? Now, MGK is not a
I disagree. MGK's this song, and this is what I think an effective this song does.
What?
That's what I thought Pusha's this song did. I thought Drake this song did it too, but Pusha
you
did
thought
it better.
That you thought that Duppy was ether, so stop it.
Ether. I said it made us look at the camp different, which is good. It's about perspective. Sometimes you don't have to bring out dirt that nobody knows. You can use known facts, frame it a certain way, we'll look at somebody.
So be
different.
A little bit more clever. Yeah. Okay.
With MGK, he made M look like he was reaching a lot.
But what facts did he have in it? Like, I don't know. What did he have in it that sounded like a fact?
No, but that's what I'm saying. Beyond all that, it was just framing what people already know or even think, and it made us look at M like,
it was jokes, basically.
I mean, this record is supposed to be, you're supposed to outbar the person, and you're supposed to be disrespectful. Mm-hmm. It wasn't disrespectful enough to me. Like, the Diddy shit was, that was a bad play.
How you named that to a gun, but you got a man butt?
That was trash.
Don't make that face, I can
notice. Right, that face, right? That was crazy. But
I think M got that line from Everyday Struggle.
Russ or?
Yeah.
You say, oh, M stealing your boss?
No, not for me. I think, didn't Joe say that? It was like, yo, that nigga's 5'5 in a man bun? Yeah.
But it just wasn't, for me, I just felt like it was rushed. I felt like people was like, nah, yo, you got to say something. You got to say something. And not only was maybe his camp, but social media. Which people act like, nah, these celebrities are not detached from social media. I'm pretty sure that every time Eminem opens his phone or his assistant or whomever he has around him. Mm-hmm. Another thing that was funny was he was like, yo, you talking crazy and you pay millions of dollars for security. It was just so many things he played, Machine Gun Kelly played on for him. Mm-hmm. That was funny that made the diss song good. M shit was just super rushed.
Right,
and it was too long. Was
so
too
this
long
is song. MGK 1, M 0?
And by the way, in terms of rushed, MGK dropped a whole video. Like, not only did he record
a
track.
Yeah, but we didn't expect him to go at Eminem. Like, I didn't expect MGK. Out of everybody that I expected to respond, I expected Joe to do something. I expect MGK to do something.
All right, however, if we're talking about, like, who had the more time to, like, to write a response, MGK looked like he moved quicker than M.
Yeah, but, I mean, he didn't have any, like, intricate thing. He didn't have these things about, yo, you know what? I'm gonna go back to his old school in Detroit and get some facts. Like, he just made fun of him. MGK shit.
And he had shit to get off his chest.
He did, but MGK shit sound like he's sitting here and we snapping on each other. He just started snapping on him. Like, look at your fucking beard.
Yeah, how you joking?
You know what I mean? Like, you talking crazy. You got all that security. Like, it sounded like he was just joking on him. M shit was like, nah, you know what? Nah, that ain't right. Like, let's he was going back and over shit.
Let's keep it real, man. Kill Shot sounds like a fucking rap battle verse from a deleted scene in 8 Mile. Let's keep it on it. Okay.
Papa Dot's hidden.
It's lyrical but not effective. Mm. Okay. As MGK said on Instagram, yeah, it's not a kill shot. It's probably a leg shot. Okay. It grazed him. You didn't do too much on that. But I do want to say I like when rappers rap. Because I'm still tired of this nigga Joe on a podcast responding to niggas who giving him bars. Okay? Especially M. So I like when a rapper is actually getting back and forth. Especially like M, yo. M really has nothing to prove.
No, he doesn't. That's why he didn't have to respond.
So that's why when he responds, I look at every other rapper like, y'all niggas ain't responding? That nigga ready. and if anyone is of my opinion that M, yeah, he rhymed good, but he wasn't effective in a diss, now is a time where maybe you should take your shots at him. Mm. You want to take your shots at him when you feel like maybe he's vulnerable.
On Tuesday, we had Currency on set. In between all the jokes, the guys shared their expectations for Kanye's new album, Yandi, which is expected to drop on September 29th.
I think it's safe to say this is a play off of Gandhi, much like Yeezus was a play off Jesus.
Yeah.
Are we excited for this? Even based on the title, I don't even know what to.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Think about this one.
Based on the album artwork, I'm not excited for it.
Well, it looks like Yeezus, right?
Yeah, and I didn't like Yeezus. Yeezus was kind of, he was going too left for me, and he was on some real extremist fashion person type of shit. Wasn't for me.
Were you
feeling
Yeezus?
I thought I was trash.
So I heard the second album.
What?
When he stopped having teddy bears and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, when it stopped with flying teddy bears with Letterman jackets and shit.
Now, Grassmith like, cool. was last yeah. on the teddy bear. After yeah, that, nigga just was on some extreme.
With the Addiction record and all that stuff on the album, that one, that was good. But
so, I didn't the first project.
Late registration.
Yeah. Yeezus is where things got a little bit weird. People were a little bit confused. So, I'm wondering if
he stopped looking like rap to me, and then I just was like, you know.
You think we lost him?
Yeah.
What do you mean he stopped looking rap?
He stopped. Look, me, the way I look at it, I'm from an era.
Yeah.
As is he. Yeah. And I, he represented it the whole way. Like, even when I saw him, you know what I'm saying? I was like, yeah, cool, you know. I would have got that low. That's a clean one. Such and such and such.
Even with the pink polo? But
that was a clean polo. Ralph has been making pink stuff forever. When you were small, your mom never had you like
a but he came out with a different look.
That it was hard,
about getting
fly. All of that gear was hard. It all was hard. And then I think once he realized that people respected the look, he was like, well, I probably could do anything. Mm. And he just wanted to see what he could do. And then he got lost in pushing the limits. And now it's just some existential, he's just living.
Yeah.
It's cool. I respect living free. You know, do whatever you want to do, but it's just not nothing I could connect with, you know.
I think, like, the Yandi thing can work if you know how he's been in Chicago lately and all of that and hanging with Bump J and you've seen him with Herbo and you've seen him with all the guys from
it's
before.
It's called a rebrand.
It's definitely rebranding itself. But, I mean, that's what I'm saying. So if he's rebranding himself and he stays within a certain pocket of what he's been around as for the past month, because he's a real sporadic music person. So if he stays around, if he stays with the narrative of what we've been seeing on social media, like he announced the Chance shit and all of that, maybe it might be something. But if he's about to start doing some all new crazy sounds that I'm not ready for, I'm cool.
Crazy sounds and crazy press. I'm scared about the commentary that's gonna come out around the project. Last time it was like all the Trump.
Yeah, I don't know who he's gonna pick to align with for this.
Right.
Who's the worst person in the world at the moment?
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, that was just about to say it's gonna be him, Dennis Rodman, just shooting pool with the homie in Korea, and that's where it's at.
Dennis Rodman wanted to do a track with him.
Yeah.
That could be on you.
That makes no sense. Like, Rodman, like, come on, man. Like,
nah, he's about to be in Korea. Kanye is about to style
Korean,
the Korean army outfits.
Yo, on a serious note, though, I am, like, wondering musically where he's about to go. Like, I mean, as you said, and you probably mostly told me about looking what you could identify with. Since graduation, I love My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, but since then, I think we could all say, like, the music kind of deteriorated a little bit. You know what I mean? Even up to this Ye album, it's a different Ye than we've ever, like, we used to see a nigga that gave us masterpieces. Now he's just kind of throwing out shit that it's like a mood for him, which we might not
get. And everyone knows that now.
Yeah, exactly.
See what I'm
before
saying?
We couldn't see it.
Like, everybody knows. Yeah, so you listening to it like this, like, what are you about to do? Yeah.
Before we used to excuse it, like, damn, maybe this shit is so futuristic that we don't get it. You know what used to
But then you check yourself because he kept doing it. It's like, nah, this shit's not good. Yeah, that's what happened.
That's the
show.
Exactly. So now with this, I'm like, you know, like, he's been working with a lot of new artists, and I always like when the veterans embrace it, the younger artists, but I don't know if he's in that pocket that we're used to Ye being in. You know when you have your own musical, like boundaries where, like, you know people like, you know how to give them what they want? I don't know if he got that anymore. So,
well, yeah,
this is going to be a big test to me, even though it should have been over like three
I think
albums.
He still has the skill level. The thing about it is it within him? Like, his skills is never going to lead. Like, it's like making music is like riding a bike. But is it in his mind to even feel that way?
Right. You know, that's the biggest thing. What you're saying. He doesn't know how to make that no more.
Yeah.
He knows he's a machine, so he knows he's supposed to be in the studio.
Right.
But he doesn't know what the people want. No more, because he's absorbed in him and the surround. He got people around him. So if everybody around him, like, is the best thing they ever heard, then is out and we can't hear it. It's like, what's this? You know what I'm saying?
So we just got to wait till next week.
Right, because he also confirmed that he has the project with Chance the Rapper coming. He confirmed the name of it. So it's interesting that he's working with him at the same time. So will that project also be influenced by Chance? Or will, a lot of
questions. It'll be more influenced by Chance. I mean, like, he's an older, like, as you get older, you kind of look at your younger guys, not to tell you what to do, but you do get some influence off of them. So I think Chance is going to drive that car.
That's Kanye's going to design it. Stuff. He might know this is the temperature right now.
Yeah.
And that people are like, I don't know, man. So
I just think his motivation when putting out music isn't like to give us good music. I don't think that's what it is. I think it is just to get his brand more visible to sell clothes. I think it's all for clothing. That's why fashion is such a big motivator. I thought Yeezus was really an album. He admitted it. He was like, I dropped Yeezus because, I was frustrated that I couldn't get in the I couldn't go chill with Fendi.
But, the thing was he started selling $150 white tees. Like, that's what I couldn't get with. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
a hip-hop tee?
Because you know what? Because people, it's hard to explain.
Currency just need to roll a joint with him, man. Smoke one, get it back down.
Look, I've honestly thought about that.
You should do it for the people.
But it's hard to get people to know all the fabric shit and all of that.
Kick it back.
Because maybe he too lost in his own mind or lost in the minds of the people he around.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We should smoke them all out.
We should.
Right. It's the Adams family.
And tell everybody, y'all stop letting them trip. I'll always smoke with y'all if y'all keep it funky with him.
Currency also helped us answer a few fan questions, including one about the best punchline rappers, which spun out of our previous conversation about Fab. Punchline Dons, you guys open a hectic can of worms there. Wouldn't y'all consider 2 Chainz as one of the punchliner Smiths? Just in general, who do you guys consider some of the best punchline rappers in the game?
Yeah, we were trying to make that list.
You got to give it to 2 Chainz.
We're opening up a can of worms. Like, who comes to mind for you?
Chainz, dude, for sure. I randomly text and tweet the homie, I'm like, bro, you can rap for real. Like, you, you might do shit like this, dog, but your ass is like, in the middle of that, you fucking breaking it down. Like, dude is nice. Either one, dog. He's like punchline captain. Fab was one of the greats, too. I don't know. How can people...
That's what I was saying. How can that happen? Well, I mean, one of the people I gotta think of is Jadakiss. Jada had a lot of, like, metaphors, punches, very, very early on.
Yeah. Damn, bro.
It's like we could go all day.
Lloyd Banks.
Banks, yeah, you could go all
day. You got Thorn. Cassidy, you got Thorn.
Cassidy, absolutely.
I
throw in Stack Bundles. Like,
let me say something.
Like, it's so many.
This is why this happened. Because music has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And you see how far you have to delve in your mind to think about Punchline Kings. Yeah, do you remember when that was what rap was?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It has gone to a level to where now, that's how come Fab is not revered as one of the greats. Because he can rap, and rap ain't important.
Yeah,
so it's like, until he bust the windshields out on a rose or something, ain't nothing cracking.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he have to set his house on fire.
Right.
And then put out something in there. Like, man, he's great. He burned his house down. Listen to these bars. So that's the thing.
So Fab gets love in the South, too. Because we were wondering if it's just such a New York thing.
Nah, man. Nah. It's just fucked up. I can't think of.
I particularly was wondering if Fab got a lot of love outside New York. Because I know niggas in New York, Fab is like godlike status.
Mm. For sure.
And a lot of.
Well, he always could dress. He looked cool. You know what I'm saying? He had on some shit, so it's like, word. It worked. In the Jersey time,
Jersey,
it was out of control.
His Jersey game was elite.
His Mitchell and Ness stuff, it was just, I'm like, I'm not even trying no more. You know what I'm saying? It didn't make no sense, you know?
Absolutely.
So with that, but the game has changed, man.
It has. Dude. But it might change again, right? It goes in cycles.
Yeah,
you can't stay like this forever.
Who's on it now? Like,
current rappers with good punchlines?
There's a lot of current good rappers, but I can't
well,
think
I don't
of
think we
punchline.
Can sure
that doesn't
punchline
happen, though.
That's good with punchlines.
That
not punchline happen. Rappers, but good with punchlines. I can't even think of, like, many rappers that...
It used to be complete punchline rap. It's that like, it. These other exactly. bars are only to set up the other thing. Like,
yeah, setups and...
Damn, bro.
Corday, YBN.
Good punchlines?
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's not... Yo, he's on this tape I did with Static. Me and Static Selector got something we're going to put out then a little while, but it's done already. But he went.
Now that kid can rap his ass off.
Yo,
that kid can rap his ass off.
Man, like damn, little daddy. Cut your verse in half, Jack. This is my album, man.
Right.
You making me
God
crazy.
Damn, yeah, he went crazy. He went
How'd
crazy. Static was well, no. I saw something online.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I don't know how to find him, but I told Static I thought he was dope. He was like, nah, he's like right here. So
right.
Boom, yeah, it happened like that.
I like seeing his like rise in rap because I think it's strictly off his like rapping ability.
Yeah,
like, I think a lot of people are fucking with him. Like he's
surrounded
he's
by the other stuff.
Yeah.
He's a rap rapper.
Yeah, he's
so
a,
people seeking him out, just like me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're gonna work with him to keep him in that.
Right.
Like don't get caught up because you see other people reaching a certain level of success by doing the same thing, and that's what happened to a lot of them kids. You know,
yeah.
Once you watch somebody pick up M's. For doing the backflip,
yeah.
right. You're gonna stop writing and work on your backflip.
Right.
So it became that, and that's why you got like it's that's why it's the way it is. But that guy is like, he's not worrying about that.
Yeah.
Right. He's in his pants.
Something we also talked about, right? Sort of rappers wanting to blow up overnight, be super popular. When you look back at all of the greatest rapping, good rapping is the thing most of them have in common, right? Is
Absolutely.
Anyone on your greatest of all time list who just was about the shenanigans? I doubt it. Long term, if we're thinking
who's
like
just mostly a great backflipper.
Yeah, nah. I don't know one.
Backflipping is
it don't
more
last.
Recent.
Yeah, and I assume that it won't be around that much longer.
Same.
Man.
It's like you're out for a couple years.
But it's cool. As long as they're putting their money away and opening up snowball stands or whatever, it's cool.
Stands.
You know what I'm saying? Just put that money up. You know it's not gonna last that long because you know what you did. You know how you got in position.
Mm.
You kind of know you were placed here like on the fluke, so like don't
right.
get crazy about it, you know
I
what I'm saying? Because tomorrow somebody else gonna do like a triple Lutz and you can't do that, you know what I'm saying? We saw your flip already,
right?
This motherfucker did it on ice skates, so we downloading his tape today.
So like what would you tell like say even Corday, like what would you give him if you give him advice for like longevity?
Yeah, to stay on the path that he's on.
Yeah,
because it always has to revert back to the beginning. And it'll come back to real lyrics. And at that point, when it comes back, you've already put down like 2 or 3, 4 years. They'll give it to you. Like this is it. This is the guy because he didn't falter throughout his career. He's the one. So they're gonna give it to him. When they get back to lyrics, they're gonna have to fuck with him.
Then on Wednesday, Black joined us on set to talk about his new album, East Atlanta Love Letter. And he also told us a bit about his relationship with Young Thug and why Atlanta artists support each other so much. So a few weeks ago, I was telling Wayno about that video of you and Young Thug freestyling back in the day. For people who weren't familiar with you before, can you give us a little bit more context for that video?
That was around a time where, same shit, I would just like be in the city. If something was going on, we would just pull up, me and the guys I was with, pull up. And if it was our shit or not our shit, freestyle, rap, do whatever we got to do just to like let it be known like we're out here. And it's the same thing. It's just like, y'all niggas need to know what the fuck's going on. So
right.
We pulled up to the Rich Kids video shoot. And this was when Rich Kids were like, you know, the thing in Atlanta, and Thug was kind of in the background. But even in that video, like, you kind of see Thug, it looked like he was, you know, the focal point. And I think that's kind of foreshadowing, like, what happened eventually, which was, like, Thug just emerged. Because during that time, a lot of people didn't know who Thug was. And when I was rapping, you know, he was looking at me like he was A&R. He was just like, all right.
Which he kind of is, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, I just got out of the studio with Thug, and that's exactly what he is. Like, he records an idea or a melody or a verse, and then he's like, yo, you put that right there. And, like, y'all go back and forth, and y'all do this. And, like, he's literally, like, breeding the...
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. It's crazy because we talk about him here so much, how super talented he is, and he releases great music, but it doesn't seem like he has maybe the body of work that takes him to the next level that he deserved. What is it actually like kicking it with him? We're just curious.
I never even knew he did that. Like, I used to think that Thug just like records a bunch of shit, be high all the time, just dip home. Like in terms of like sequence and be like, yo, you know what? Like, I have a vision for that. Do that. Do that. I always thought he just did a just bunch of shit. Get the fuck out of the studio.
I mean, he does a lot of music, but it's like the way he does it is seamless. Like, he has people there, so it's not just him by himself. Mm-hmm. And like I said, if he has an idea for like, yo, you should go right there, you should do this, blah blah blah. Like, he spits it out. Somebody does it, and
yeah, yo, you know it's. What I like about Atlanta is like coming from New York, everybody here is like competing to be the guy here, where it seems like in Atlanta, everybody's just competing for you all to get success, like not against each other, but just for y'all to get success. It's like y'all all come up from a certain place and you're like, yo, we gonna do it, we gonna do it. Yeah. Now everybody does, the misconception is that everybody in Atlanta always works together, which is not the case. Yeah. But it seems like y'all are not really trying to fight for a certain spot. Y'all are just trying to keep y'all town. You know, as the biggest point of the culture in hip hop.
Yeah, you got Offset on this album, right? You got the record with Future out. Like, obviously, you have a good relationship with Thugger. It's dope to see that you guys always stick together.
Yeah, I think it's just like growing up in Atlanta, you see so much shit going on where it's just like, if you want to do music, it's not like far fetched. It's not like I can't be a part of this. It's like, it's right here. Like, I know this nigga, or I met this nigga, I ran into this nigga. So, like, growing up, you see it all. And by the time you make it into the industry, it's like, bro, like, we all kind of came up together in some kind of way. Like, whether it be not knowing Future at all, but knowing, like, how many records he had in the club for so long before the world, like, knew who Future was. Like,
yo, it's weird. And call me stupid, but I'll take
stupid. Sorry, I didn't do that same. I hesitated, my bad.
I did.
Carry on. Nice.
I didn't know you were from Atlanta until this. I was like, I really did not know. Listen, man, I listened to some records.
He doesn't look at any of the notes I make for the show at night.
No. Not before today. I mean, like, before
this project
came out. Like, hearing the songs, I thought you were from somewhere in the Midwest. I'm like, I'm hearing the melody, and I'm hearing, like, the sound, and I'm like, this isn't what I expect when I hear Atlanta artists coming with music. You get me? Mm. And I think that's such a special pocket that you're in.
Right.
And I think that's a unique thing about Atlanta that allows you to embrace all your peers. You know, it's not like you're competing with niggas. Like, you got your own thing. Everybody got their own thing. You don't feel like you're competing like that.
And that's the thing that kind of holds a
session. Did you know from the get-go you was from
Atlanta?
From
problems? You've been making fun of me for 2 years, but yes, I know.
The dope thing I see about Atlanta is that, like, you know, they don't follow what people try to put on everyone else, or what everybody puts on themselves with traditional sound.
Right.
Like, because you never, like, the Migos don't have to sound like Outkast for them to be heard. Future didn't have to sound like Ludacris. 2 Chainz didn't have to sound like Big Gip or Slim Cutter Calhoun or any of those guys, you know? So it's just dope to see that y'all always jumping in the variety and you don't hold yourself to a certain space because of what came before.
Yeah.
Because I just jumped on the black bandwagon. Like, I ain't gonna lie. Like,
only when he saw you freestyling.
Yeah, it was when I saw freestyling.
That's the thing, because you sing and rap so well, a lot of people don't know actually how good of a rapper you are. So Wayno and I always have this conversation. We were looking through the awards list.
Yeah.
It was like Lyricist of the Year, and we were arguing about who should be in the category. Like, do you consider like a Travis Scott when production is a strength? Where do you want to be recognized as all of it, as a great singer, as a excellent lyricist, or do you not care?
I feel like I want to just kind of migrate, like, just around. Like, last year for the Grammys, it was like Urban Contemporary Album, Best Rap Song Performance. This year might sound like more R&B. One day it might be rap, you know. You never know. It's just like I want to just make music and figure it out, you know, along the way. So
it threw me off because, you know, when I first seen you, you had the Alfred Payton hair, right? So I didn't know what to take from you. So that's the question I wanted to ask. Why'd you cut your hair?
I mean, I don't want to get all, like, you know, just like...
Well, you want Mimi, man.
Yeah,
you just want to be regular.
No. I mean, just like, it got to the point where, like, I was in places and I didn't want to meet people, or I didn't want to be there, and I'm like hanging my head up. And I'm performing and I'm like, I got my head down. And I think, to summarize it, like, what I was going through on Free Black, I, like, became, you know, like, that album cover. I became that music. I became, like, what I was trying to write about. So all the stuff I thought I was moving past, it was actually like just setting in, and I felt like the shit was in my hair. It was in like my image, you know, like people, like, you know, recognize me as that.
Interesting. So, but you know, people like, yeah, he's trying to clean up now.
I mean, but like I needed to hit the reset button. Like
I feel, you.
I feel like it got, for me, just personally, it got too stagnant, and it got like too, I just felt like I wasn't moving on. Like I was just still stuck in that shit, and I woke up one day like, this shit gotta go, bro. Hmm. All
right, so look, with the freestyle, because I mean, that was my first time hearing you. That was like I heard songs here and there, but that was my first time like really, really paying attention.
Right.
But with the freestyle, I said that you had a little glimpses of like how Wayne was on Dedication, right, as far as like how your delivery. Yeah. He thought I was bugging. So I wanted to know.
No. You're not bugging, because like, before like any of this shit, like before my first project, from middle school to high school, I probably had like 7 mixtapes.
Mm, wow.
And those like shits consisted of freestyles off of other people's shit, because that was the time when like Wayne and Cass and like all these different people were like just like flipping beats. And that's how I started off, flipping beats. Like I didn't have a producer, I was a kid. So right, like the only thing you can do is rap to somebody else's shit. So my first maybe like few mixtapes were like me rapping over other beats.
Gotcha.
You're never gonna give us a side A and a side B, are you?
That's what I was gonna say. So like, I mean, what happens is like when you have that hybrid, and you still give people doses of freestyles where people are like, oh shit, I'm feeling the bars, I'm feeling that it's more about the lyricism more than the melody, you're gonna get fans who are gonna say, man, fuck it, man, just give us a straight rap album. Or on the opposite side, be like, yo, cut that out, we just want you straight singing, dog. You get me? Yeah. And you ever thought about just doing like an R&B mixtape completely, like without as much as the blend, or just doing straight rap and giving that out to see like where that falls?
Honestly, I don't know. Like I just make, you know, whatever I feel like I'm supposed to make. I do feel like one day eventually, like I'm either going to sway left or sway right, but I don't think it's ever just going to be like one thing. Like here's a rap album or here's an R&B album. Like I like living in between. And I like showcasing both of them. And not even just like about rapping R&B, like musically, I just want to do different things. So,
awesome.
You know, next project can't sound anything like what I did for the last two. Mm.
We also had a chance to chop it up with Lil Durk this week. Check out YouTube for that full episode, and we'll catch you here next Friday on the Everyday Struggle podcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.